But one of the main things that we have, especially if you've lived in Salinas a long time, is that you know that the majority population here is Latino. And so it's no different from our school population. And in the school population, since the majority are Latino, the majority of those students are English language learners. And so when I started teaching about 5 years ago, I had this even in my college days, I had this thing. I was like really radical at the time. I was just like, you know what, I'm gonna be such a great teacher. Like, I'm gonna be such a, like, you know, I'm gonna let these students know, open up their mind and broaden their horizons. They're not even gonna think the same after I get through them. They're gonna have picket signs and they'll be protesting by the end, like the middle of the year, and we're gonna change things. We're gonna have, everybody's gonna be like changed, and the school's gonna change, and you know, all the students are gonna wear black leather jackets and, you know, red, and we're gonna be attention and everything, and we're gonna do things. And so that's me at the time, but as I started teaching more and more, I realized that the students, they don't need that. Because they have these skills already. They know how to argue already. If you have kids, you know that they argue with you. They argue with their siblings. They know how to cite evidence. They know how to look, if you tell them, you need to clean your room, they know how to cite back and look at your room and say, like, well, your room's not clean. They know how to do these different things. They know how to compromise. They know how to talk to their little siblings, something like, if you touch my things, I'll kill you, kind of things like that. So they have all these skills already. They don't need these skills to be taught to them. What they really need, and what I learned, is that they need to be proficient in English language. Especially in these schools right here, because that's how we test them. Now, they need to be proficient. So seventh graders need to be proficient in reading and writing at the seventh grade level, eighth graders at the eighth grade level. The problem is that most of our students, at a minimum, read and write at three grade levels behind. So if they're in eighth grade, the chances of them reading and writing at a fifth grade level is very high. And that's just a minimum. I've seen students have a grade level of first grade, second grade, and third grade. So it's very alarming when you have all these different. I've also seen students have a high school level, senior level reading. Yeah. So it's very, very hard when you have all these different people in your class. They're all at different levels, and you have to try to teach a certain thing. So what happens is we get tested. We try to do that as teachers. We try to make sure that we install these. We try to give them language, sentence frames, how to speak. We try to let them say, I'm going to say this word. I don't really like this word, but they say hella a lot when they're trying to express, like, oh, that's hella bad. This is that. It's like, I'm like, I try to give them other words to say instead of that. Like, oh, don't you mean that's very bad, or that's really bad, or that's extremely bad? And they just kind of like, what are you talking? That's not what I mean. I mean hella bad. And it's just like, oh man, like, I'm really trying to get you to practice. And the bad thing is that our classroom is really the only place they get to practice this language. And if you don't practice language, then you're not going to get any better at it. Mm-hmm. And so they speak it if their primary language is Spanish at home, they're speaking Spanish at home. Some kids even speak indigenous languages like Mixteco. And so if that's their primary language at home, and then when they're with their friends, they're speaking Spanish with them, Spanglish, or, you know, English and Spanish together, or just Spanish, in the hallways, and then they come to my class, and that's the only, in 55 minutes, that's the only time they get to practice, then it's really, the cards seem stacked against you when you have to do SBAC testing. Right now we're doing the SBAC testing. I'm giving you a lot of detail, I'm sorry, I'm gonna make a point to this. So what tends to happen, and I can speak for myself, and I believe that teachers go through the same thing, is that we start building up these biases against our students. So depending on what they look like, what they're wearing, what latest and greatest things they have, whether they're the iPod, AirPods, or the iPhones, things like that, or how they sound, depending on how thick their accent is or not, is how we're going to judge them and how we're going to limit their ability to reach that level that they need to be reaching. So if I see that these students are just coming in and have really thick accents or something like that, I might think, like, I gotta lower the bar, and then that way. But that's really not what I should be doing, because I'm limiting their success to get to where they need to be. I'm telling you all this, I know not everyone is a classroom teacher. I believe all of us are teachers. In fact, God called us to be disciples.
Yeah.
which are teachers. We need to be able to go out of this, you know, we're planning, game planning. We need to be able to go out and be able to teach people who Jesus is and what Jesus did on the cross for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, about a month ago, we went to this equity summit. And it was talking about how students, or, you know, the students we go through, what types of stresses they go through. Maybe they live in a neighborhood where there's a lot of shootings. Maybe they've seen people, their friends get killed, cousins get killed, or something like that. They go through different things. And then they go to our class. So we're dealing with people that might be dealing with different things. I mean, we all come from different walks of life. And so what happens is we don't take that into account. We don't take, like, their background account, their language background account, like, what they're going through, the stresses of trying to be good enough for their peers. Then we're not being, and they term this called culturally proficient. And culturally proficient is when you're not just looking at the background of these people. You're not going to be able to set your biases aside, and you're not going to be able to set that bar high for them to reach it. You're going to set it low, and of course they're going to reach a low bar. Anybody can reach a low bar. And so what I like to think is that we deal with the same people when it comes to bringing people to God, mm-hmm. is that we're dealing with a whole bunch of different people that are coming from a whole bunch of different backgrounds, mm-hmm. Dealing with a whole bunch of different things, and we're not being spiritually proficient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And I'll explain this more and more as I go down, but in essence, just like I'm not checking my biases at the door when I go outside of my apartment to start the day to teach these kids, we need to check our biases at the door when it comes to dealing with people outside into the world and bringing them into God. In fact, I would say we probably need to check our biases at the bed when we wake up, because I even need to check my biases too when I'm talking to my wife and, you know, we're trying to have an understanding for each other. And the same goes for the people that we're trying to bring to God.
Yes, amen.
Okay, so if we don't check our biases, what seems to happen is we start pushing people away from Jesus. We start doing the opposite of what we were intended to be.
Yeah.
And then, so if we're looking at verse 14, verse 14:1, we have to accept the ones whose faith, oh, God says, we have to accept the ones whose faith, verse 14:1. We have to accept the ones whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm sorry about that. I think I wrote... Yeah, no, okay, sorry about that. All my notes are getting everywhere. I'm trying to stick to this card. Okay. So yeah, we have to be able to accept people, and we have to be able to try to bring them in without trying to push them away. And that's the plan of trying not to push them away and trying to bring them in. And so we need to meet people where they're at and not try to bring people to where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hardest part too, because a lot of times we want to just correct and correct and correct and correct. And this ends up pushing people away. Just like with my students, I need to meet them where they're at. If they're at a third grade reading level, I need to see where I need to go, what I need to do at their level to bring them to an eighth grade level.
Yeah.
And you know, so the same thing goes with people. I mean, a lot of people have ideas of how to live their lives, and we can't just be in there and just say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. I mean, obviously, that's going to push people away. That would push me away,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I don't know if that would push you away if you were trying to have a relationship with Jesus. So, but the goal still remains. We need to find a place. We need to find a way to bring people into knowing who Jesus is and having a relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say that too because I read a documentary, and mostly I could just knowing culturally, Latinos are culturally, when it comes to faith, they're usually in the Catholic religion,
mm-hmm.
and so what's happening, I guess, in Texas is now there's a lot of Latinos moving from Catholic religion to Islamic religion,
mm-hmm.
and one of the interviewed, he was like, why did you change from Catholic to Islamic? And he was saying, the guy that was saying, who's actually leading this, was saying, well, I just felt like it wasn't personal. I felt like it was distant. And I felt like with the Islamic religion, I actually have a relationship with God, or with Allah, which is God. But it was just very alarming to this. Like, what are we doing in these institutions? What are we doing in these churches to make people push away and find other things? They can have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
But but how are they getting this idea where they're distant, where they're being distant from Jesus? And that's the thing. Jesus wants to have a relationship with us. So we have to do everything in our power to make sure that people are coming in and understand that fact, that they're not distant. You play a very vital role to the family of God.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like I said, the goal remains the same. But it's hard also because we live in a customizable world. We can customize anything in this world today. You can go on Amazon, get a customized, you know, watch or something like that. You can customize your clothes, customize your food. You can customize your, you can even customize your own gender for that matter. But a lot of people we start seeing in young people too, that they're customizing their own faith. They're customizing their own spirituality.
Yeah.
And I was at I'm a part of Young Life. And we go to a camp in Woodleaf, and they have a whole week. They get to have fun and all that stuff, but they get to learn who Jesus is, do different talks. We have cabin time. We talk to them one-on-one and see, like, where are you at in your spiritual walk? And what happens is at the very end, they get all the kids, because these are not really kids that were growing up in the church. These are kids that are just learning about Jesus. They get kids to come up and kind of announce, like, hey, okay, I'm Paul, and I'm ready to give all my life to God, or I'm Melissa, I'm ready to give all my life to Jesus, this or that. But we had this one kid, and I don't know if any of you know who Post Malone is. So I don't know what he is. I don't know if he's a rapper or a singer or something like that, or just kind of just like a human, like a human sketch pad or something like that. His face is all full of tattoos, all that stuff. He's a music artist. So there's this kid that looks just like Post Malone, this musician, and he has the braids. And he doesn't have tattoos on his face yet. He has a beard. And he has, like, he's always wearing a sweater without a t-shirt, which I thought was kind of weird. He's, like, just wearing, like, a zip-up jacket. But, you know, he's really trying to show, he's trying to show us too much. He's trying to get a little too sexy over there at a Jesus camp, you know. It's just kind of, zip the jacket all the way up. Plus, it was 110 degrees, so I don't know why this guy just had a sweater on. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is that they pulled this guy up to the stage. And he comes up, the guy even recognizes, oh, this Post Malone guy, okay, hey, man. It's like, you know, okay, tell him what you need to tell. I was like, oh, my name is, I forgot what his name is, but I'm going to call him Post Malone Jr. My name is Post Malone Jr., and I'm ready to give 25% of my life to God. And they were like, whoa. it doesn't work like that. It's all or nothing, man. You don't give no 25%. This is not just like, it's not milk. You don't give 25% bad, 50% that. You know, it's all or nothing. And so, you know, they had to correct him at that time. But like I'm saying, we live in this world where you feel like, where a lot of people feel like they can customize their spirituality. And that's not what Jesus intended. We need to be all or out. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part, because we, as a Christian, this is our identity. This is how I identify myself to people. I'm a Christian. And it's hard when, like, people are doing this and you see this happening and you want to correct, but, you know, we don't want to push away. But there is, what I've noticed is there's a confusion between spirituality and religion, faith and religion.
Yeah.
And I want to bring up, I don't know if anybody's ever seen this movie, Monster in Law. I probably would never see this movie if it wasn't for my wife, but we see these kind of movies. Like, I was the only boy, I had five sisters, and I've seen a lot of cheerleading movies I really didn't want to see. They had no interest in knowing about cheerleaders, but anyways, we just saw them. If you don't know, okay, there's Jennifer Lopez, good old J-Lo. She plays this kind of free-spirited, like, person. She's just a free-spirited person, and then she meets this doctor, and so it's this kind of like, you know, this doctor with this free-spirited person, they fall in love. And she finally gets to meet the mom. The mom really likes Jennifer Lopez's character. She's all just kind of just like talking with her. And then finally, I guess that's the time where the son thinks that this is the greatest time to ask for Jennifer Lopez's hand in marriage, her character's hand in marriage. So she asks. The mom really doesn't like this because it's so abrupt to her that she's just like, it's just too much for her. So what her idea is, you know, she thinks, and I know this is what moms think, because moms love their sons like forever. Like, the sons are like their princes. Like, I'm your woman in your life. Like, no other woman. And I know that because my mom thinks the same way, too. And so, you know, I've seen some resistance with my mom when there's women trying to pull her away from me. And so my wife likes to call me a mom's boy, but, you know, she's the only woman that loved me at that time. Anyways, back to what we're getting into. So the movie, the mom thinks about ways to try to get to break up their marriage. She doesn't want her son to get married. And to moms, I guess they have this idea that no woman's ever good enough for their son. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a very high standard that doesn't really exist. It's like when I set a bar for my students, like this bar is like anywhere for a mother, like for their son. So what happens is she tries to, there's one thing that she says, she's like, okay, so she has this idea where she tries to plan the wedding. And obviously, if you're getting married, you don't want your mom to plan the wedding. You don't want your mother-in-law to plan your wedding. You want to be able to plan your own wedding. So she plans the wedding, or she's trying to give these bad ideas because she knows that they're bad ideas. And she says, well, we need to have crosses everywhere. We're going to have crosses on the cake and crosses here, this, or this, this. And Jennifer Lopez says, well, you know what? I'm not really religious. I'm spiritual. And I was kind of thinking, I was like, a lot of people have this idea that, and it's not just like, because there's a lot of religions out there, but particularly to Jesus, yeah. To the Christianity culture, to the Christianity idea that people have, that if they don't know, they think that this is a super institutional, there's rules to follow, you have to keep your head straight, if there's something going on, you have to have blinders on, things like that. They think that it's a very captive, you're living in captivity kind of religion. And it's not. If anything, and God, as Jesus has told us, He came to free us from things that we feel captive, that we don't know that we're captive to. Mm-hmm. Like when we feel, when we're younger, we feel like we have to drink or we have to smoke or something like that, you know, just to be accepted in the circle that we're in. Jesus is here to say, you don't have to do that. You're 100% with me. You're like, you're at 2% with these people. And you think that since you have this, you have this acceptance that somehow you don't, that you're all together, but you're not. Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. And we have to understand that too, that when we're walking, when Jesus or God puts, Jesus puts people in our lives, in and out of our lives, that we are going to be dealing with people that have this idea that Christianity is this. And they might have even had a bad experience when they were a kid or when they were younger. And that's going to be pushing. So we're constantly, we're dealing with different things. We're constantly, like how in the classroom, we're dealing with different reading levels. We're dealing with different spirituality levels. People that are coming from different backgrounds. And that's why I say we need to have a spiritual proficiency to be able to deal with that. Understanding the background that some of these people might be going through to be able to bring them to Jesus or to be able to tell them about Jesus.
Yes.
So, again, can't express this enough, meeting people where they're at and not trying to bring them where we're at. I mean, obviously the standard's there, it's in the Bible. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But we need to have open minds and to not push other people away. So another verse would be Romans 14, 16. Chapter 14, verse 16. Find it right here. It said, therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteous peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, people do have this idea that it's very constraining, but we know God has told us that it's just a matter of being joyful, a matter of being free, a matter of being, you know, a matter of having that. It's not evil. It's good. It's so good that it hurts. It's so good. Okay? So, people are confused, and you're not going, and again, when I say open mind, we're not trying to do like a religious speed dating. Like, okay, like, hey, I'll go with you to this mosque, I'll go with you to this thing. That's not what we're trying to do. We're still keeping our identity. We're still keeping who we are inside. Yeah. But we're not trying to let people sway us to other things. But at the same time, we need to still be on the side of them and be able to work with them as they go through this journey, as they might be looking at something they feel like is spiritual because it's going against Western civilization. Okay, Western civilization isn't bad just because there's things that are happening, but we need to make sure that we're there, that kind of little, like, that person asking open-ended questions.
Yeah.
So I have another story. So I coach wrestling, and we take kids to tournaments, and there was one tournament that we took them to in Santa Cruz, and I was driving them back. They were driving me crazy because these kids like say like all kinds of nonsense. Like they just say like just say what's ever on their mind, and they're just on their phones, and it's just like, oh, I just need to get out of this car so I won't have to like be listening to this. So I'm trying to ask them questions. Like I'm trying to because I know as a teacher I need to practice language with them. I need to practice. They need to know how to talk to adults. And so what I try to ask them is like, hey, so what do you guys have planned for the weekend? And they say, I have a couple of kids that are pretty sharp. Like they could, like one of the kids is already taking college courses at a junior college right now. And I thought that was pretty cool. But he was saying like, we're gonna go swim up here. But then on Sunday, we gotta go to church. I was like, oh man, why don't you like church? He's like, because it's just boring. He's like, okay. He's like, okay. And plus, I don't really think that people really go to like heaven or hell when they die. And I was like, oh, well, why do you think that? So what I'm doing right now is I'm asking open-ended questions. I'm not trying to say like, no, you're wrong. Church is the best thing ever. You should want to go to church more than you want to go to movies. And so I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to open-ended questions. Oh, why do you think this? Or
yeah.
So he says like, well, I think when people die, as they get born, there's like when a baby's born, like they get born, born again. And I was just like, okay, well, what got you to that thing? He was like, I don't know. I just felt that way. I was like, oh, well, that sounds kind of like that kind of sounds like karma, and that kind of sounds like that this type of religion. And so I'm just kind of just putting in little like, oh, that sounds like this. That doesn't really sound like because I know they're Catholic. I know they were Catholic, so it doesn't really sound like what they're teaching you in the Catholic belief. And so another kid, very smart, should be taking AP classes. He says, well, I don't think God's all omnipotent. Like, I think, like, if he's all omnipotent, like, if he's all knowing and he's all good and everything, then I think, then, and actually, he's one of your students. So I was like, what are you doing to this kid? He's like, I don't think, like, he's all omnipotent because if he's all knowing and everything, why are bad things still happening? It's like, well, I mean, you know, we still have free will. I still could be able to do whatever I want to do. I mean, I could do really whatever I want to do. And so all I'm just doing is just kind of just like casually just kind of putting these ideas, casually opening questions. I mean, the conversation gets switched real quick because some kid farts in the van, and you know, that loses all kinds of things. But at the same time, like, what I'm trying to get to is that it's not pushing them. Yeah. It's open-ended questions. And even though they're kids, I would like to think that I would do this to an adult too that still has these questions. Like, you know, just kind of maybe I'm hoping they have a better attention span than kids do, because I just learned that I didn't just learn, but I've known this. Kids actually have a shorter attention span than a goldfish. A goldfish has 11 seconds attention span. A kid has 9 seconds of an attention span. So I know that they're going in and out whenever I'm talking to them. And just like, you know, so that fart was just that took everything, okay? Took everything out of it. So, but in this case, our best weapon that we have is leading by example, having our own life and having our own Christian identity, and just trying to do the best we can and trying to put ourselves to Jesus, trying to be as much as Jesus as possible. Because when people see this, they're more inclined to want to find out what's going on, who is this Jesus character, and what's happening. And like I said, we don't want to push away, but a very enticing way to entice them into this faith, into this lifestyle, is our own lifestyle.
Yeah.
Amen.
So a question here is this: why would we risk being ridiculed, being embarrassed, being told like, oh, you're a survival thumper or just whatever? Why would we risk this to try to get people to get into this faith? Why would we risk this? I mean, besides God telling us that you need to go out and teach the masses and make disciples of all people, of all nations, we need to be motivated. And the way we can motivate ourselves is we can't see these people as other people. We have to see these people as family members. Like, they're a part of our family right here. This is our kingdom. They're our brothers and sisters that maybe don't know or maybe just have fallen. And we need to get them back up. We need to get them back into the game. And so one of these things that I do in my class is we have this poem we recite every day, and it's called En La Kesh. Can I have you all say En La Kesh?
En La Kesh.
And actually, that's in Nahuatl language. And it really means, tú eres mi otro yo, you are my other me. So in Lakesh is this idea, they had this idea of the smoke in the mirror. Okay, so basically, kind of imagine yourself without a head and a mirror. You have a mirror right here, you're a mirror. And what we really are is reflections of each other, okay? When I see you, I see myself. When I see you, I see myself. When I see, and I tell my kids this too. In the classroom, when I see like the female and male students, I say, I see like my cousins, I see my aunts, I see my mom, I see my, and they all kind of look at me weird, like, how do you, like, I don't look like your aunt, or I don't look like your mom, or I don't look like this. But what I'm trying to say is that I see you as family. I don't really see you as other people. And you have to try to look at other people and not try to see them as different to you. Because we all are the same if you get past the exterior. We all cry. We all get sad. We all get happy. Mm-hmm. We all have people we love. We all have people we lost. We all have people that we're... We all get angry. We have all the same emotions. There's not one of us right here in this room and outside that doesn't have this emotion mm-hmm. in them. Whether they show this or not, that's another thing. So the smoke in the mirror idea just means that if we're just walking mirrors towards each other, we need to find a way. The only thing that we can't, that's blocking our way of seeing that we're a reflection of each other, is the smoke. We need to find a way to get rid of the smoke,
yeah.
So that way we can see that we're just, wow. That person is just us,
yeah,
ourselves. And like I said, we need to see these people as family. And one of the main reasons we're going to do this is looking past that exterior. So homeless, adulterer, drug addict, teenager, young, old, you know, female, male, like whatever exterior that we see, we need to get past that so that way we can see that this person's just me.
Yeah.
And this person's just in a different course of life right now. And they need Jesus.
Yeah.
Just like I need Jesus.
Yeah.
Not that they need Jesus more or I need Jesus more. We need Jesus the same way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So again, spiritual proficiency, I'm going to keep on saying it, is having an understanding that they are ourselves. And so the way we do this is, if you're a Christian, you believe that the Bible is completely inherent. Can we all say inherent?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I keep on saying it. It's like my students or whatever. Inherent, absolutely true from every page. Everything on that word, everything on those pages is truth. Everything on those pages is believable. And it can't be looked at as just like, oh, it's just a book that has good stories and bad stories to make you want to do the right thing. It's not that, okay? Mm-hmm. It's completely truthful, and mm-hmm. it needs to be the roadmap, our GPS, to let us know how we need to deal with people, how we need to structure our own life, and be able to get to where we need to go, which is the ultimate goal to finding who Jesus is, to knowing him, to have a relationship with him. And this is how we're going to get to other people. Mm-hmm. And the thing is understanding that maybe times are changing. I mean, there's different things that are now, but ideas stay the same. They never really change. Ideas always stay the same. So if we're talking about people having rough times in their relationships, the people have been having rough times in their relationships since the dawn of time.
Okay?
People, you know, when we're talking about people dealing with vices, dealing with alcoholism, dealing with drugs, even though there's new drugs on the market or something like that, people have been dealing with drugs, yeah. Drug use, vices, all that. That's been happening since the dawn of time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible is a way to make us understand that and see that that's happening and see how we can fix these things, how we can go and get to these people and see, because there's a verse for everybody. There's a verse for every single person
right.
in this world.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to close up with this thing. Just wanted to summarize. So, we know what we got to do. We know we have to bring people to Jesus.
Yes.
We know we have to let them understand that Jesus wants a relationship with them mm-hmm. as much as they want a relationship with us. Mm-hmm. Next thing is, but we have to be honest with ourselves. We have biases. I have biases. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have biases, and the more you grow up, there are the different things that the different things that you come across with people makes you think a certain way, and it, like, that's why, you know, we're, I don't know if, like, I have this joke, I don't know if it's appropriate, but I'm gonna say it anyway. I have a friend, she had a kid like at 16, 17, she had really, really young age, and you know, she's doing the thing, she's a nurse now, she got her master's in different things. It took her a while, and it was really hard because she had a kid at the time, but I guess, like, there was this guy that she was trying to date, and the guy was kind of not really understanding why she was so, like, hard or, like, so rough or, like, not really letting him in. And I was just kind of, I made this joke. I was like, well, because life just slapped you around already, and so you're a little bit more hesitant to try to trust people. And that's what kind of comes with us, is that we, life has like punched us, kicked us in the face, you know, slapped us around a little bit, and we're going to be a little bit more hesitant to some people, especially when you're in a Christian faith. Like right now, we did the Semillas Raices. We're having a really good result over here at this, but it wasn't always like that. We were dealing with some students over here, and we really want to get back to them. We want to find a way to get back to them because they need something different. Mm-hmm. But we have these teenagers that just like, they just come and they kind of just expected things. And it was really hard because we were just like, we're trying to be really nice to you. And they're just like, nah, we're gonna ruin this whole thing for you. And so it was just really hard. And we're trying to like talk to them. But the thing is, like I said, if you knew their background, parental involvement is really not big with these kids that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to get them to understand things. And they really don't have a mastery of Spanish or English. Mm-hmm. And so they really can't speak. You can't really have a full conversation. And it's really hard to understand that. These kids are growing up almost without parents. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of, because their parents are working so much, that they're kind of just out here all night long and just kind of running the streets.
Yeah.
So, and I know I was supposed to summarize things up, and that's not what you're supposed to really do when you're writing an inclusion, bring up new information. But that's what I'm saying. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is that depending on who you deal with, you're going to have a bias, and you're having biases created new all the time. And we need to make sure that we're checking those biases at the door, checking those biases at the pillow when we wake up, and being able to have an open mind to deal with these people, to bring them into this relationship with Jesus. Next is that we need to truly internalize how these other people are not just other people, but truly ourselves. And like, yes, they are our other us. They're just mirrors. They're reflections of ourselves that we need to get past that exterior and to be able to understand that. And the last thing is we need to be prayed up and Bibled out. Okay? Yeah. It's how we're going to go to be God's instruments for this truth that we know is so true. Okay? And so I just want to close off with a prayer. And we bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give it all up to you, Lord. We know that you have instilled in us this great goal, this thing that we're supposed to be going out and being able to get our family, our other brothers and sisters to you, Lord. And we know that there's lost people, and we know sometimes we're going to be dealing with some things. We're going to get a flat tire in the road, and that's why you have this community, this fellowship with us, so that way you can help us, they can help us fix our flat tire, and that way we can keep on driving onto the road that is you. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just pray that we can have an open mind and be able to understand we still need to have our identity as Christians to be able to go out and just bring people to you and let them know that you want a relationship with them. You want to have a personal relationship and a personal desire to have them in your family, Lord. And that, you know, converting and all these different things and trying to find other things, and whether it's in other religions or whether it's in other vices, is not going to make them whole and 100%. A relationship with you is going to make them 100%. Yeah. We just pray that you help us kick our biases to the side so that way we can do this work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah.